Right quick, I apologize for any background noise. There's probably going to be a lot. I'm just recording this directly on the app from my phone, just to get a couple chapters in. My daughter's out front in a bouncy house, so I got that fan going, and it might pick up in the background. I apologize. Normally, I'd have a microphone out and kind of clean this up, run it through an app, and then put it on here, but I'm just trying to get back in this right now. So I left off on chapter 13, Exodus. And I'm going to pick up right there. Daughter's doing fine. Chapter 13. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Set apart every firstborn to me, the one opening every womb among the sons of Israel, among man and among livestock. It shall belong to me." And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of the slaves. For by the might of his hand Jehovah brought you out from here. And no leavened bread shall be eaten. Today you are going out in the month of Abib." A-B-I-B. Abib. Okay? "And it shall be when Jehovah brings you into the land of Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You shall do this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the it says 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day keep a feast to Jehovah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten the 7 days, and leavened bread shall not be seen for you. And leaven shall not be seen for you in all your boundaries." So you can't have none around you anywhere, I guess. I guess that's why they go and rid the house of yeast and stuff like that. God, I can't remember if that's Lent or what that is, but you're supposed to get rid of all the leavening in your house. Okay, I did that last year. It was rough. I mean, just to not doing it. Doing it was pretty easy, but getting rid of all the stuff in your house that has that, whew, that was rough. Lost some money that day, but whatever. I just quit using those products, and this year it won't really be a task at all. Or it wasn't, I guess I should have said. Huh. Anywho. Where was I? "Unleavened bread shall be eaten on 7 days, and leavened bread shall not be seen for you, and leavened on your boundaries. And you shall tell your son on that day, saying, 'It is because of what Jehovah did to me in my going out from Egypt.' And it shall be a sign to you on your hand, and a memorial between your eyes, so that it shall be a sign on your hand, and a memorial between your eyes, so that a law of Jehovah may be in your mouth." Is that when they put like the little ash cross on their forehead? I'm so ignorant to this, but great that I'm running into it there. I guess that's what that is. Is that Ash Wednesday or? Huh. Yeah, how about that? That blows me away. Okay, a sign between your eyes. Jehovah may be in your mouth. "For with a strong hand Jehovah brought you out from Egypt. And you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time from days to days." Huh. "And it shall be, when Jehovah brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, you shall set apart to Jehovah everyone opening the womb." Everyone opening the womb. It's weird. Everyone is two different words. Everyone opening the womb. "And every firstling, the young of the animals belonging to you. The males are to Jehovah, and every firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a flock animal. And if you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck." Whoa, I'm vegan, so that's kind of crazy. I don't have any animals other than a dog, and I won't be sacrificing or eating it, so my goodness. "And if you do not redeem it, you shall redeem with a flock animal. If you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man or men among your sons you shall redeem. Oh my God. Is it gonna say? And it shall be when your sons asks in the future, saying, "What is this?" You shall say to him, "Jehovah brought us out from Egypt by the might of his hand, from the house of slaves." And it happened when the Pharaoh hardened himself against sending us away, Jehovah killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of men into the firstborn of animals. For this reason I sacrifice to Jehovah every one opening the womb, the males, and I redeem every firstborn of my sons. And it shall be a sign on your hand and frontlets between your eyes. For Jehovah brought us out from Egypt by the might of his hand. Huh. So it just says that you'll redeem your firstborn son. It doesn't say that it doesn't specify that if you don't, you'll break his neck. But, I mean, it was laid out before. Would it not, is that not implied? If you don't redeem your firstborn son, are you supposed to break his neck? What does that mean to redeem your son? It doesn't really... I guess it probably said it. It wasn't clear to me exactly how I'm redeeming my son. I don't have a son, thank God, but should I have a firstborn son, I think I'll be interested in learning about redeeming him right away. Goodness. And it happened, and Pharaoh sending away the people, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, though it was near. For God said, "Lest the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt." But God made the people turn toward the way of the wilderness, to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up armed from the land of Egypt. Went up armed from the land of Egypt. Does that mean they just literally had their arms up? They weren't armed. They went up armed from the land of Egypt. So they went like, was that just like, okay, I surrender, I give up, let's go? Weird. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had made the sons of Israel certainly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall cause my bones to go from here with you." And they traveled from Succoth, and they camped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And Jehovah was going before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way. Wow, wait a minute. Jehovah was going before them by day in a pillar of cloud, so they could see like a cloud pillar they were following to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give light to them, to go by day and by night. The pillar of cloud did not cease by day and the pillar of fire by night before the people. Crazy. Now, I don't remember seeing that in any videos or stories. That's crazy. So not only were they led out there, but they were given a clear sign in which direction to go. Huh. I wasn't aware of that. Chapter 14. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and let them return and camp before..." Oh, boy. Oh, hold on. This is a word, man. Pihahiroth? It's P-I-H-A-H-I-R-O-T-H. Pihahiroth? I'm struggling on that one, man. I apologize. I don't think I'm getting that one. So, and camp before Pihahiroth. I apologize. Between Migdol and the sea, before Baal Zephon. You shall camp opposite it, by the sea. And Pharaoh will say, "As to the sons of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue you. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and through all his armies." Okay. But they're going to turn to God to help them? "And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah." And they did so. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned as to the people. And they said, "What is this we have done? For we have sent away Israel from serving us." And he prepared his chariots, and he took his people with him, And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and officers over all of them. And Jehovah hardened Pharaoh, king of Egypt's heart, and he pursued after the sons of Israel. And the sons of Israel were going out with a high hand, and the Egyptians pursued them. And they overtook them camping by the sea, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army by, oh boy, Pi-hah-harath, before Baal-zephon. Yeah, I'm not getting any better at that. We're just gonna, Yeah. So that's where they were. So I grab a Bible, Exodus chapter 14, the end of the, what is it? It says chapter 14, excerpt 8. The end of that, that's where they're going. So I don't even know how, I've never even heard that word said to even try and copy it in some way. I'm just sounding it out, and it even trying that is hard. My good God. It doesn't make any sense as a word. Okay. And Pharaoh came near, and the sons of Israel raised their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching were marching after them. And they were greatly afraid. And the sons of Israel cried to Jehovah, and they said to Moses, "Were there no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Oh my God, these people just, they freak out instantly at the first sign of any trouble. Like every time, they just completely panic. They're, oh, woe is me, instantly. My goodness, helpless. Just helpless as a mob. It's unbelievable. All right, what is this? What is this you have done to us to bring us out from Egypt? What is that? Oh, okay, I see. The 12 is next to the word is, and it looks like this. It's weird. Is this not the word which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Go away from us, and let us serve the Egyptians, for it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness"? And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will prepare for you today. For as you see the Egyptians today, you shall not continue to see them again forever. Jehovah will fight for you. You will be silent." Oh, wow. You tell them then. I love parts in the Bible like that. I can't wait to get to where this gets to talking about Jesus and how he was brought up. Because a lot of the outside, I think, perception of Christianity or following the Bible of Jesus is that he was like some tree hugging hippie that just constantly said, you know, let be, you know what I mean? Don't fight, you know, spread love. And I'm not 100% sure that's true. I think the guy was quite a warrior. I think he was a kind of a rogue of his time, you know, almost like a gang leader. He had 12 gang members with his 12 disciples, you know what I mean? They ran around kind of putting down how they thought things should be. And I mean, I remember stories of hearing that Jesus went up in like a temple or something and whipped some pharaohs or temple people, or, you know, did some ass whooping up in there, right? And that's not something some tree hugger is going to do. That would be like equivalent to running up in the Senate House today and whipping the senators for some of the laws they're passing on the people. You know what I mean? You wouldn't consider that person a passive pushover, or, you know what I mean, a passive peace-loving citizen, right? You would, I mean, the news would immediately call him a terrorist. That would be the new Osama right off the bat. So I don't know that our perception, or the perception in general pop culture of Jesus is anywhere near what the reality of him probably was. That's my own opinion too. I just want to put that out there. It's not something I'm gleaning from anyone directly, or that I've got some fact-based evidence to hand you. It's just from my interpretation of everything that I'm reading and hearing and watching. The dude was quite a badass. I mean, he was a badass, and he got punished for it. And when it came down to that, I think he kind of, I don't know, I mean, he's the son of God, but I think he gave himself up to show that he would rather live his way, that the way of his father, the right way, than spend another day being a slave. And we don't seem to have that mentality anymore, and that's really sad, because if you live in America and you're not one of the elite, you are a slave. It's just our reality right now. All right, moving on. Back to the book. Jehovah will fight for you, and you will be silent. And Jehovah said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Speak to the sons of Israel, and let them move forward. And you raise your staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it so that the sons of Israel may go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And I behold, I am about to harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they will go after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh, and through his armies, through his chariots, and through his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, and my being honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots, and through his horsemen. And the angel of God withdrew, the one going before the camp of Israel. And he went behind them, and the pillar of cloud withdrew from before them, and it stood behind them. So the pillar, literally the pillar, like shifted in the sky above them from over, I would assume, the water, because that's the direction it wanted them to go, to behind them where the Egyptians were. I don't know why I'm slowing down so hard. Like, that was pretty well explained. And it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and it was cloudy and dark, and it gave light to the night, and this one did not come near to that one all night. What does that mean? And it was cloudy and dark, and it gave light to the night, and this one did not come near that one all night. So I'm guessing that means the Egyptians did not come near the Israels and vice versa. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters divided. And the sons of Israel came into the middle of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them from their right and from their left. And the Egyptians pursued. And all the horses of Pharaoh came after them, his chariots and his horsemen, into the middle of the sea. And it happened in the morning watch. Jehovah looked on the camp of the Egyptians in the pillar of fire and cloud, and he confused the camp of the Egyptians, and he took off the wheels of their chariots and made them drive with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, I will flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And Jehovah said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, and let the waters return on the Egyptians, on their chariots, and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its usual flow at the turning of the morning, and the Egyptians were fleeing to meet it. And Jehovah shook off the Egyptians into the middle of the sea. What does that mean, shook them off? Were they climbing his pillar? And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, together with all the armies of the Pharaoh, those going after them into the sea. And not even one was left among them. And the sons of Israel walked on dry ground in the middle of the sea, the waters being a wall for them, from the right and from their left. And Jehovah saved Israel on that day from the hand of Egypt. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw the great hand with which Jehovah worked against Egypt. And the people feared Jehovah, and they believed in Jehovah, and in his servant Moses. Wow. So right there, we just had the dividing of the sea and the destruction of the Egyptian army. Now, everything I've seen said that the Pharaoh didn't go with them into the sea. That wasn't really clear here. It talked about the army. I'm guessing in chapter 15 they might reference that, but we're going to stop here just so I can get an episode in this. I'll get longer ones, and I'd like to shift them back up towards like an hour. It's really hard to find the time to do that, especially to create an environment where I don't have a lot of background noise to be comfortable. So all right, thank you. I'll be picking up, if no later than like next Saturday, on chapter 15 of Exodus. Have a great day.